Creator Chat is brought to you in part by Audible. Audible is, of course, the premier audiobook service, perfect for folks who want their books read to them. Thousands and thousands of titles to choose from in all genres, sci-fi, fantasy, biographies, history, thrillers, mysteries, and more. We've got a great offer for listeners on this podcast, 2 free audiobooks when you sign up. And those books are yours to keep even if you decide to cancel your Audible subscription, which is $14.95 a month and gives you a free book every month of your choosing, as well as some other fun perks. Membership has its privileges. Hit up bit.ly/geekbookclub to start your free trial and get those 2 free books on lock. Once again, bit.ly/geekbookclub. And now, let's get into the show. Welcome to another Creator Chat on the SGGQA podcast channel, an ongoing series of interviews where we get to hear from folks making cool things on the internet. A community is like a garden. With some care and attention, you'll grow the community you want. You wouldn't want to put all your energy into building a community of poison ivy. Joshua Vergara is one of the more thoughtful creators I follow, and I particularly appreciate his focus on lifestyle while reviewing lifestyle tech. It's always interesting to have a conversation about technology where we can also focus a little on thoughtfulness and mindfulness. He took a little time to chat about what it was like moving from one smartphone publication to another, how he got started shooting video reviews, building up his own personal channel, and we had to take a little time to catch up and chat about tea.
All right. Now, Josh, tell me why the Nexus 4 is your all-time favorite Nexus.
Ooh. The Nexus 4 will always be one of my favorites because... Oh, no, I actually got it wrong. I was about to say the Nexus 5 because the Nexus 5 is the one that I dropped at Google headquarters.
No, I mean, because it's the my joke is I always ask a dopey question before we really get started. That's how I sync audio. So I hear you over my speakers. It lines up. It's a lot easier just to kind of match because, you know, the delay. But... No one's favorite phone is the Nexus 4, and it just makes me smile. Like the answers people come up with for. But wait a minute, I never said the Nexus 4 was my favorite. Oh no,
I do actually have a legitimate perspective on the Nexus 4. I loved it because it got me away from the Galaxy Nexus.
Yeah. So I mean, like, in terms of design, I think the Galaxy Nexus is still my favorite. I don't know what it is about that phone, the curve, the sculpt. But it was such a miserable phone to cover.
Yes.
Like, so terrible for software updates and for performance. I
had like a 40-minute battery life.
If you didn't use it, if you just sat it on your desk, it'd be fine. So, yeah, totally chill conversation. I do intros and outros. So when I push public on the StreamYard here, you're going to see a little thing that says go live. We're ready to just go right into the conversation.
Cool.
And we can keep this pretty straightforward. Okay, cool. So, yes, I'm going to turn me up just a little bit higher. I'm going to try not to laugh up. That's where I've got my mic right now. Okay, cool. I'm clicking go live, and we are... And we are live. Excellent. Joshua, thank you so much for joining on the Creator Chat podcast. I am horrifically embarrassed by the fact that it's been way too long since we've had a conversation and we don't live that far apart.
It is. We have this. We have the conversation about the lack of conversation often as well.
Every time.
Which is great because it just goes to show you how SoCal we really are.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why, okay, I have to say that I envy people who live in good public transportation cities because it makes it a lot easier. But, you know, coming from a guy, and I've said this on many occasions, I love driving. I don't see why I make excuses for not going places because I like driving.
I see. Now I'll be the flip side. I mean, I don't really have an excuse. I hate driving in Southern California traffic. But again, we're not that far apart. I mean, it is kind of silly because TK and I have always have the same conversation too. Like, it's so much more likely that I'm going to see you on a live stream or in Las Vegas than it is that I'll see you face to face in Southern California.
Yeah, and you know what? That's the funny part about like the nature of the work that we do is that we would be able to meet up in these various events.
Mm-hmm.
And like the last time that I feel like you went to like an Asian event, I wasn't there, but Issa was, and you got to hang out with Issa.
Yes, I got to meet up with Issa. Yeah, I was actually kind of bummed. He's like, "Oh, is he going to be there? Is he going to be at Computex?" Of course he's not. So I want to start off just because, you know, we live in kind of extraordinary circumstances, and for as much as I want to jump in and catch up and also kind of chat about your path as a creator, but how you holding up? How you doing? You hanging in there okay? You keeping your head down? You staying safe? Washing your hands? All that fun jazz?
Yes, all of the above. And I'm lucky, again, like there's no skirting the fact that we, in this position, anyone who is on a YouTube screen right now, viewers, is privileged and ultimately very blessed to be able to still work because of the platform that we work on.
For sure.
And in my case, see, my brother is a day trader, so he's at his desk, at his home, at his own home. Mm-hmm. But if he was here, he would just be in the other room, like, trading. I'm here filming on what can be considered the perfected Android Authority set, because this is where I used to film all my Android Authority videos. Right. And now it's, like, better than ever before because of where we are right now. And my parents are retired. So I'm lucky, because here in the house, it is probably... I've had people tell me, like, stuff in their homes. I don't know about you. You can obviously say, but, you know, it could be a stressful situation in the house with everybody in one place.
Yeah.
And I'm lucky that I don't really have that. But overall, I'm doing all right. I will admit, just to shine a light on, you know, how important mental health is, I did actually have, for the first time ever, random, out of nowhere panic attacks.
Yeah.
I've never had that before. That happened like 1 week in or 2 weeks in. Hasn't really happened since, but I feel the anxiety bubble up from time to time.
For sure.
And yeah, you know, just anybody out there who might be watching this or listening to this, whatever the case may be, take care of yourself in all manners of the word. It's not just health, like physical health or eating, diet, exercise. It's also what's going on up here, because, man, it's so easy to get caught up in just the mire of the news and the bad news. And sometimes even the good news, like mm-hmm. the fact that you don't really see as much of it as you probably should be, is enough to bring you down.
Yeah. No, and it's just the, and thank you for kicking off the conversation that way. I mean, that's going to be a part, I think, of what's, it's just that specter around us right now as we're all trying to make sense of what the new normal might be. And I don't think enough people have considered that. I don't mean to sound dramatic, but as something of a trauma, you know, whenever we start getting back into the flow of something new, it's probably not going to completely resemble what we had before or what life looked like before. I mean, we hope we get close, but the idea of that as some sort of out there end point is very concerning. You know, it's a very disruptive thought, and it's hard to reconcile that with, you know, just day to day. I still got to plug. I still got to get this done. I still got to shoot this stuff. I've definitely been seeing it with my wife and my daughter. You know, it's a lot of work-life balance changes, and it's hard to fully encapsulate. It's hard to fully, like, quantify what all these things are, because at the end of the day, we're safe, we're healthy, we're well-fed, we're still working, you know, we're still bringing in some cash to pay bills and stuff, so we've got it pretty well. We're doing okay. And yet...
Yeah, and yet, like, there's... I think there are a lot of people, and I guess I can direct the question back to you in a little bit, is that there are a lot of people, especially on social media, who are saying things like, you know, those motivational tweets and motivational IGs and whatnot, of like, don't ever feel guilty about potentially not achieving everything that you want to achieve, because we're literally in a pandemic right now.
Right.
And that is like grading on a scale in reverse. Like, everything is lower than it should be right now. So if you are going to spend this entire time being super hard on yourself, which I'm not saying you shouldn't do, you know, everyone will operate the way they want
to. I'm going to cut you off. I'm just going to say, don't do that. I'll say it.
I agree.
I'll take the bold stance.
I totally agree. Like, we shouldn't be so hard on ourselves, but I also know that it's so hard not to be. Like, that's the part. You know, it's like, even right now, you know, I mentioned earlier before we even did the show that, like, oh yeah, I got a lot of work to do today, but I'm totally cool to, like, chat, because this is literally what we all need right now. And it's good to prioritize it.
And a little connection and stuff. I mean, it goes a long way.
Yeah. And to sort of bring a little bit of levity to the whole thing, the thing that I will say to people is, don't be afraid to dive into forms of content. I know that we use content so loosely, but let's say art. Let's dive into forms of art, consuming art that actually makes you emotional, because it's so easy on the daily to just sit at this desk, go get food, drink some coffee, come back, work, repeat. You gotta feel something. And that's the reason why, like, I even joked before we hit record or live or whatever the case is, I'm going to talk about my post-Korean drama depression. I finished Crash Landing on You last night with my parents. Wow. I made sure that we watched it together, and we made a point to finish it last night, the last two episodes, which the majority of the episodes is an average of 90 minutes long. So it's a commitment. But it was one of the most like emotional roller coasters of a show that I've ever watched. And you get that whole idea of like, you know, gamers out there can relate to this. You spend so much time with these characters.
Mm-hmm.
When it's over, you're just sad you can't hang out with them anymore.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, it's silly, you know, it could be a classic sitcom and you get to that final episode and the sad, the slow melodic version of the TV show theme song plays and you just know, like, I'm never going to have this moment ever again.
Exactly.
It's
pretty just
heavy.
Like, it's a flowery show, let mm-hmm. me just say, but as I said in, and it's another strange phenomenon that, you know, I'm a tech YouTuber, we're going to talk about that later, but the, what's funny is on my social media.
We might just hang out and talk about Korean dramas. I'm game.
Well, it's funny because what I noticed, especially since my exit from Android Authority, is that the posts on my social media that get the most play are things that have to do with like gratitude, love, stuff like that, which says a lot, to be honest. Sure. And I posted last night after finishing the show in tears. I posted on my Instagram stories, like, it was just so nice to watch a show where, granted, it's all manufactured and written to be this way, but mm-hmm. it's just so nice to watch a show where the people genuinely and unabashedly care about one another.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we need to see and experience right now. So anybody out there who might feel even the little bit of reticence to, like, cry at a movie... cry, dude, like, just cry. Like, it's good for you.
Well, and yeah. I mean, in talking about some of my own challenges, and maybe this kind of dovetails with what you were talking about for stress and for panic attacks, is I have a bad habit of things are tough, I'm gonna go numb, I'm gonna power through, and I'll sort of deal with the emotional baggage when we're through the core issue, right? I'm gonna fix the issue. I'm a fixer. I fix things. This isn't something I can fix. This is so much bigger than like my household, my family, my extended family. And so I can't, I mean, it's a marathon. I can't power through this and not deal with some of what's happening emotionally in the moment now. Yeah, and that's very alien territory for me. I'm so used to like shut down, fix it, finish, then collapse and deal with the fallout. And now it's like, I've got to multitask. I've never had to do that before.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. It's and I'm right there with you. I'm a bit of a fixer as well. And it's weird because you can only really work with what's in front of you. And now we are, what is it, like day 45, 50?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I stopped doing my prison wall tally hash marks. So I don't
the little table notches.
Exactly. For every day, I will stack a phone. that's how many we'll do. Oh, God.
Which is the crazy part, because despite the fact that we are in this situation in the world right now, the tech world continues to move.
Mm-hmm.
And we, again, in a privileged place where we can cover all these things and be able to do content on it. But it's almost as if, like, I already would feel overwhelmed with the amount of work I have to do when travel was a part of it all. Now I'm just in this room with no excuses. Well, I mean, other than the whole emotional and mental side of things, obviously.
For sure.
But like compared to before, I'm here and can work, but I still feel completely overwhelmed.
Yeah.
it's a weird time.
No, I'm with you. I mean, there's been the one joy. And actually, let's use this to kind of transition into Josh Vergara as a tech reviewer and a tech creator. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I mean, you can only really be so productive in any given day, especially in a creative endeavor. Like, I've got to write scripts and reply to PR and handle my social media. And so, I mean, along the way, I'm sure this is another thing you've been experiencing too. Like, the quality of people that you surround yourself on social media can also have a huge impact on how productive I can be that day. You know, I've got a couple buddies on Discord and, you know, they're keeping up some fun chatter on the fun side of technology. And they remind me, this is like an amazing opportunity in the scariest way possible. Like, we put out all these huge claims about our technology and it's revolutionary and it's going to change your life. And we've never leaned on this consumer stuff as hard as we have now. Like, we're living out of these things in ways that I don't think we would have imagined last year. So, I mean, along the way, when you say, you know, like, hey, I've been putting out social media about some of the things I've been watching, or just, you know, like the gratitude and just the that kind of community building, I have to believe Joshua Vergara as a solo producer, that's been one of the driving forces of your commentary out there. Like that's got to be the good feedback cycle on what you've been making.
Yeah, I would hope so as well.
because, I mean, obviously social media is never perfect, but
exactly, which is my main point. Like what's funny is that like I can put out rainbows and people will find the mud at the end of that rainbow. And it's so funny, sure, that people do that so often. And it's a conversation that us as creators have constantly. Like, how do you deal with the feedback loop? Because when it's positive, that's great. But when it's negative, there's stuff to learn from it, but it also bums you out.
Yeah.
And on social media, for the most part, like my communities on Twitter and Instagram are very, they're engaged, and I don't think I have any, I've never really had any bad apples in my social media circles. And it's probably mainly because I do from time to time just put out the good vibes and just the gratitude vibes and whatnot. And let's just put it this way. I would hope that people can decide for themselves that if they're not into me saying the word gratitude or thank you or love one another and stuff like that, that they wouldn't follow anyway. So yeah, that's what I would hope.
Well, and again, I was like, I don't feel like I would necessarily treat that as any great loss.
True.
I'm trying to tell someone, go be nice to other people and have a good day. Oh, screw that Josh Vergara. I don't feel like I'm missing much there if that person's not a part of my normal social media feed.
And I'm a huge proponent of, this is a phrase that I've used so much that even Issa, my long distance girlfriend, uses it more often now. Both can be true. I can show love in one direction while still acknowledging that there's a lot of crap in the other. And I probably, the most annoying, let's say, Twitter user, because it happens mostly on Twitter, is the kind of person that replies to an otherwise positive tweet and goes, but this is happening right now, so you shouldn't be right. So, you know what I mean? And it's such a defeatist attitude to think of life that way, you know? Like, why, just because there's negativity in the world doesn't mean that we can't uplift each other. And that's what I always wanted to do. Like, as you remember, and actually this, I thought about this earlier, and I love that I can bring it up this way. I was thinking of times that you and I have been able to connect in person and be able to hang out. I have actually, listeners, sat in that very room once that he is sitting in right now.
Actually, no, this is the new Gadget Lab. I need to have you over when this is all, yeah, we moved. But you were in Gadget Lab too, and you actually did get to sit down. Gadget Lab.
Yes, and I think at the time that was your hosting gig of the Pocket Now Weekly, which is of course what I do now over at Pocket Now. And then the other time was when I was at Android Authority, and we did like a 20-minute segment for the podcast inside of the press room of Mobile World Congress, which to me is hilarious because I remember us sitting there, we're like, do we have to be quiet? Like, how quiet do we have to be? And eventually we were just like, screw it, let's just talk.
Right. That was one of my all-time favorite, like, conversations, you know, just in general, let alone that we were in the middle of this room.
Yeah. I still look back so fondly on those moments like that. And I remember, especially when I was working exclusively at Android Authority for a publication, one of the things that I always advocated for, which may or may not have truly become a part of the lexicon, arguable, is collaboration. I always wanted collaboration among everybody. And I think it was when I randomly ran into Michael Fisher for the first time, Jaime Rivera for the first time, and then the rest of the homies, that I was just like, hey, you know, let's hang out. I want to get to know you, blah, blah, blah. And then this community that we have in this tech world is like, it's been sprouting, and we have so many little ones here and there, but we all kind of come together. If anything, that's the spirit that I try to take with everything that I have. So even if I were to, even though I did leave Android Authority, that spirit's always in me.
Oh, for sure.
Which is why stuff like this is here, or me, you know, calling other people, calling other creators and giving them shout outs and just saying like, hey, you know, this is all dope stuff, while trying to focus on my own stuff, of course. That's the balance that I tend to try to strike when it comes to solo creation.
Yeah, I mean, I know that there's like this fixation or this popularity drama dance that happens on YouTube, but we're in rarefied company. I mean, you show up at a trade show and you're covering the trade show and you're actually working it, you're a member of the club. And I don't think that's an idea that always gets through. You know, I recently put out a video where I was sort of playfully and helpfully criticizing the microphone experiences on someone whose channel's like 2.5 million subscribers. And I wish I could go back and kind of piecemeal that video a little bit differently, because the immediate knee jerk reaction is like, yeah, F that guy, he's an idiot. And you're like, that's not what I'm getting at, because if you actually listened to my commentary, I'm trying to make this a teachable moment for someone who doesn't know about audio. I'm not savaging the intelligence of someone just because they're on a big popular YouTube channel. That's not what we're accomplishing here. And, you know, the worst I'm really trying to extend is we could all learn from his mistake. Mm-hmm. It's really difficult getting that idea across from someone looking on the outside looking in, that there's no like fisticuffs. Michael Fisher said this about the Moto and you said that about the Pixel, and that means you must be diametrically opposed or fighting or feuding or something like that. And it's a challenge.
I have an example, actually.
Oh, good. Excellent.
I think there's a comment on, I don't know if it's my LG video or the one that I did for Pocket Now, but it's like, oh, I'm sick of creators like Josh always bashing LG. You should go to Juan's videos because he knows how to review an LG phone. And I was just like, okay, these comments always, they always make me incredulous, because the first word I always see in those comments that just makes me wonder what these people are seeing in my content is the word bash.
Right.
I was just talking about how I'm a collaborative person and I'm all about gratitude and I love things. And I literally put out an IG story last night of the two main characters of a love story. And I wrote love one another underneath it. Like where in any of that personality, that perspective, would I bash a phone?
I don't want to feed any trolls. I think I might know who you're talking about, because you did a video. I really like the series you've been producing, and sorry, I'm completely brain farting here because I had a list of questions and I didn't do my normal dossier.
That's what happens with us. We just talk.
I'm way off script. Oh no, I've jumped the tracks. The series that you've been doing on concerns. It's very, again, I don't know that this message always gets through, but being fans of technology and really being into this tech as lifestyle conversation, and I mean that tech as lifestyle, not just how many megapixels does it have and how many giggle flips can it make. I mean, like, I don't care. I want to make it a part of my day and see what happens.
Yes.
Sorry, and I derailed my own derailment there. But but what I really like about that series is trying to balance some of the honeymoon phase with the first impressions, and then looking at like different consumer demographics should be looking at different products. And like you, I genuinely don't believe there is one perfect right fit for everybody. I don't think that's how gadgets work. And I think that's fair, especially when something's brand new and we're cracking it out of the box. I don't have the same kind of hype machine. I need to do an unboxing. I really want to start getting into more of the nuance, the philosophy, who is this going to be right for? And if you're aware of what some of what the compromises might be, then I think you're going to make a much more informed purchase if you're considering maybe jumping on one of these gadgets. I was hoping you could kind of chat that out. How did you sort of steer that to being this a more consistent part of your early commentary on a phone review?
Well, what's one of the main, this comes with the caveat and preface that the workflow is not always is consistent the term I'm looking for. Like, ideally, when one device comes in, not five, which has been the case for the last like month, when one device comes in, as I'm testing it up until my final review, which is normally entitled "Who is this for?" Where I explore the different types of users that this phone might actually work best for. And I also preface that video by saying, I am not all these users. I remember I did a Note 9, who is this for? And I said, before you get mad at me for not saying the artist, of course this phone's for the artist, but I can't draw. So like, what do you expect me to do? And I think most people kind of clued into that and they were okay with it. But along the way, there are certain aspects or certain perspectives on the phone that I, on the one hand, would be able to create multiple forms of content on, but at the same time, it informs people as to what angles to look at the phone by. So top five concerns, and I get that it's wordy trying to explain how this process works, but top five concerns would be even before I get my hands on the phone. I see the announcement and I go, okay, that kind of irks me a little bit. I'm a little worried about that. Top five complaints is after I've tested the phone. And I actually have these five things that literally work, like they don't really do it for me on any given device. And what's funny is there's always five. There's always at least five, no matter what. But then after that, it's who is this for? And I'm actually thinking of doing, I toyed around with the OnePlus 8 Pro to do something in the opposite direction because some people were getting too fixated on the title and thinking that I was being too negative or anything like
that.
I'm
just really tired of you bashing all of these products. I mean, all I hear is hater and I'm over the haters. So I needed to come to your YouTube channel and leave the comment and engage with you to let you know that I'm over you.
All this guy does is complain. That was one. And there was another one.
Sorry.
There was another one that put me in hysterics where they were like, I go through a whole minute of explaining at the beginning of a top five concerns video, like the conceit behind this video. And then this person goes, you don't even have it in your hands yet. You can't talk about that phone without it in your hands. Like, what's the point? And I was like,
I don't know, man, because I've seen
you
your
too.
Videos.
Like that's, isn't that word? Because anybody who tries to make an informed comment in the comment sections
just
most likely doesn't have the phone either.
Hey, podcast listeners. I work really hard to find mutually beneficial ways to support production on my various distribution platforms. Instead of just running ads on this podcast and hoping they don't annoy you, I want to find products or services that you really will get something out of and that can help fund my production. While I do talk about some of those items in ads throughout this podcast, I've never created one easy-to-view master list of my current partnerships until now. Sorry, I couldn't help myself. If you'd like to help contribute, support production of this podcast and my various videos and reviews, head on over to somegadgetguy.com. At the top, there's going to be a link for Support Some Gadget Guy, and you can see what my current partnerships are. At the time this podcast was recorded, in addition to my Patreon, we can hook you up with a $10 voucher for shopping a new OnePlus, save 20% on some One More headphones, sign you up for Google Fi service, Amazon affiliate links, Audible, or you can grab a Mega Pickle coffee mug of your very own. Savory, delicious Mega Pickles. Head on over to SomeGadgetGuy.com, support banner on the top right-hand side of my website, and hopefully you find something cool, something you like, while also kicking me a little extra scratch.
It has been one of the most frustrating changes in audience.
No,
exactly. from the when I first started reviewing and I first started like participating on tech forums to now, it seems like, you know, the level of expertise in the people leaving comments has skyrocketed. But again, I that's hilarious. Sorry, I'm kind of chuckling at that person there. I feel like if I had seen any of your videos in the past, I'm sure I would probably disagree with 1 to 3 out of each of your concerns in any given video. And yet I still don't think I'd walk away from your commentary thinking, dude's just making BS up. Like, you know what I mean? Like you've had your hands on so many gadgets that I feel like I feel like the predictive radar on what might concern you, given someone's press announcement, should be fairly high.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Definitely. And there are just those moments where, like, universally people will look at it and raise an eyebrow. You know, like $700 wheels for a Mac Pro, right. You know, like
that don't have locks. They don't lock.
Exactly.
They just
how is that not
through.
A concern? Like how is that not like I even did a video on it, but like I just recently saw that I think Unbox, he like made it a skateboard and I'm like, that's funny. Like that's cool, but it's still $700.
Right. So let's.
So actually real quick, sure. sorry to hijack it a little, but
yeah, no worries.
I've had this thought in mind for a while, and you know, as a student of communication, I always find it interesting how we, as the creators, the people who make the content, will talk about commenters in this sort of all-encompassing bubble, and it's really easy for us, even the best of us, to forget that the comment we're reading is one specific individual. Meanwhile, it's easy for us to fall into the pit of commenters.
Right.
And I guess it's important for us to, for me at least, to say, I understand that most of you, the majority of you out there, are not these people we're talking about. It's just easy for us to get into this nebulous idea of the comment section and believe that the community is actually that petty when we know you're not. Like, we know most of you are not.
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, like, I hadn't really considered my own behavior. I mean, until you just brought that up right now. But in my brain, I think I've been keeping a very distinct split between people that I would call members of a community and people who leave the most frustrating comments. And like in my brain, and I've probably never tried to express that before. You know, like if anyone's come to one of my podcasts and hears me whining about a commenter on a video, I don't think I've ever done my due diligence in explaining, like, I don't think they're a member of the club. And that's why I'm pointing out this type of behavior. This isn't something that I wish to encourage on my channel. That's different than the community of people that I feel I'm a part of. It's not even like I'm leading this discussion half the time I make a video. I'm just adding to a conversation that's already happening on social media and on YouTube and on my various hangouts. Yeah, that's kind of funny. I'd never really considered my own split on that idea before.
Yeah, I just feel like it's easy to get mired in the whole, like, oh, I was reading, because I remember tweeting about this one time and thinking, like, the last thing I should do in the morning is look at comments.
Oh, yeah. And
it's like the worst way to start your day.
It's horrible.
But at the same time, it was like, there were some people who responded to that tweet, and this was a while back, but there were some people who responded to that tweet, and they were like, oh, no, don't worry about it. We liked it. We liked your video. Like, it's perfectly fine. It's okay. And you got to, and I keep telling myself, like, the ones I decide to respond to, that's on me. That's on me.
Yeah.
And the ones that affect me, that's also on me.
Yeah, it's like those old sayings, you know, like there are two wolves inside of you. You know, the one,
yeah.
You know, whichever one lives is the one you feed. And you're like, yeah, actually the people I actively engage with are going to be the people that I surround myself with. So I probably shouldn't get so hung up. But Josh, there's someone wrong on the internet and I need to correct. So I do want to kind of
the but actuallys.
Oh. and I've got some really good friends too, where it's like, I know if I put this out there, they're gonna correct something. I don't even know what it is, but I just know. All right, let's see what I get wrong.
Yeah,
this time. But I I'd like to kind of backtrack just a little bit here. I mean, you've been talking about your experiences at Android Authority. You've been doing killer work with Pocket now. I've really enjoyed the content you've been producing on your own channel in addition to working with Pocket now. But this is one of those, like, obviously so many of us come at this with some kind of life passion for consumer electronics, gadgets, toys, gaming, however we got into this. But I was wondering if you could maybe share, if you could think back, what was maybe an early incident that pushed you over the edge as someone who's a fan of this stuff thinking that you should now contribute to the conversation. Okay. You know, more, it wasn't just enough that you were reading forums, you know, you started writing on forums, or you started writing blog articles, or you started reaching out to some of these outlets. I was wondering, was there like an inciting incident that convinced you, like, this is a conversation I need to be an active participant with?
Yeah, there are actually like three like anecdotes.
I'm gonna lean. This is great.
So I'll go in chronological order. So back when I was basically on my way out of high school, okay. So my dad and my brother were actually the ones who sort of cultivated this love of tech. My brother was a gadget freak growing up. And I remember he was looking for like the Nokia N95s and all that stuff. Like he was totally into that stuff. Meanwhile, me, I was like on my Sony Ericssons, and then I moved to like the Walkman phones, and I adore the Walkman phones always. Mm-hmm. And I would just like, I would follow those trends. And there was a certain year, and it was, I think my senior year, where I got that W850 Sony Walkman phone. It's the slider one. And then I got a PSP. And then my dad started to see that there were some aspects of tech that I was really gravitating towards. And he saw this sort of like love. I was already like a video gamer, all those things. So he comes home one day and he has in his hands a British magazine called T3. And T3, nice. I don't know what it's like now, but it was probably still a great publication. And the magazine said top 10 gadgets of the year, and I can't remember exactly what year it is right now, but I went to the back and the top two items were from 2 to 1, Sony Ericsson W850 and PSP. And I was like,
I was right. Validation.
I was like, I think I do know a thing or two. And actually from the creative aspect, and this moves on to the second anecdote, is that my father actually, without probably realizing it, kind of cultivated a creative aspect in me, because every family vacation that we went on, I was the camcorder operator.
Nice. Yeah.
And this big lug and Super 8 thing. And like, he was teaching me like, oh no, don't just whip it like that. You know, you got to show the scenery, you know, like this is a beautiful place and blah, blah, blah. And those were all things that were just sort of cultivated in me. And you get that very like basic idea of like cut and then go mm-hmm. to the next scene and cut that big red button on the back of the camcorder that I missed. So in college, I actually picked up it's not in this office, it's in my actual office, but the Flip Mino, little flip video cameras.
Those were huge.
Those were huge. And I have to say that, God, I wish hindsight's 2020. But I could have been a vlogger before vlogging was a thing, because I used to use that thing all the time for my college, like my Filipino social group. And I would like document stuff. And I already was thinking up of like weird titles for those things. Like every month I would do something called the Redux. And it's like, oh, this is what we did this past month. And like, so documentation had already become a part of like just the way that I do things. And then the final anecdote that I have was when I was at my last job before becoming a tech personality. It was at a corporate office doing tech support. Go figure. And sitting at the call center like for hours and hours on end, looking up the next things. Now that I had a steady paycheck, you're literally looking at things that you want to purchase and you're considering why you want to purchase one over the other. One of my best friends from San Diego, because that's where I went to school and also where my last job was, he asked me, I'm gonna upgrade. I saw that you have your Droid Incredible, you love that Droid, and you know, I want to see what other ones are out there. I see that the Droid DNA is out soon and blah blah blah. You know, what would you recommend? So I put together a list of three phones and I wrote paragraphs, and this was in an email, mind you. I wrote out like two paragraphs each as to why I thought that phone was significant without ever really, and this is true even years later, without ever really picking a side, because it's up to you to pick a side. It's not up to me. And he responded just one line in the email in the reply and said, this should have been a blog post.
Excellent.
So I fired up my WordPress at the time, free tier.
Same.
And I posted it. I have recounted this portion of the story before. It wasn't until after I was let go from that tech support job and I thought, I do like writing. I miss writing. So just writing even cursory things, like it doesn't even have to be for a publication or anything. Like I'll find like a random little blog that's looking for writers and I'll just have some fun with it. And that random little blog ended up being Android Authority for all places.
if you don't mind, like you could expand on that just a little bit, because you know Android Authority is a publication that I'm sure has. I mean, like I've had so many experiences and have consumed so much of their content. You were one of the defining voices for me finding that channel and sort of appreciating the team of content creators over at Android Authority. I kind of like got there through you. What were those early days like as you were jumping on board? Because in my brain, it seems like they were this plucky little upstart against some of the larger tech publications that then managed to build something pretty substantial.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And here I was, wide-eyed, getting into this world of digital content creation, thinking that I was going to write one article a week.
That's hilarious. I love it.
While I go looking for another tech support job to pay the bills, I have this hobbyist thing. But that wasn't the story. It became something completely different. So one of the homies over at Android Authority who, and by the way, I still have a great relationship with pretty much everybody back there. And I don't keep up with them as much as I know I should, but you know, we're all very busy these days. But Bogdan, who is one of the original editors of Android Authority, and to this day, I still view him as like a great arbiter for like proper writing and whatnot. He was a great editor to have.
Nice.
I remember talking to him years after I joined, and I was like, man, do you remember when I was just writing like news pieces and like just doing the occasional written review rather than doing the videos? And he was like, yeah. And your writing was actually quite good at that time. So in losing you as a writer, that was kind of a bummer. But then you ended up being such a great video producer that the pivot was actually way more important to do. Yeah. Because what happened was for like a month, I was just writing for them. And then they said, okay, let's send you a phone and let's see if we can get you to do a video on it. You can do it in any style that you want, but here are some examples. And some primary examples that came up were of, I think it was Early Pocket Now, Marquez, of course. So those were sort of like the goalposts. And I thought to myself, okay, I see what these guys are looking for, but I want to make a video that is like Top Gear, but for tech.
Yeah.
So that's what I really wanted. Whether or not I've actually achieved that is arguable, but I did that video. It took me way longer than I thought it would take, which is still the case today. Every video takes way longer than you think it will.
Yeah, it does.
and that phone actually, you know, the few times that I've been to Hong Kong, I've been wanting to actually buy it whenever I see it, but I just never pulled the trigger. The LG Optimus G.
Yeah, that is
like such a like left field phone. Like most people don't remember Optimus phones.
I never held on to my Optimus G, but I do think I still have my Optimus G Pro, where they tried to make their Note competitor. It was like another big screen phone. Some real fond memories for what we used to have for phone design back then.
Yeah, so like I put out that video, and even though it took me a lot longer than probably they wanted, the actual like the narrative of the video was something they really liked. And as time went on, it was like, here comes another phone. You know, we'd like this video to come out at this point, blah blah blah. And to this day, probably the one thing that propelled me to just focus on video and become more of a solo creator is just that there is a little bit too much of too many good things. Like video content creation is a very involved process that I obviously enjoy. I mean, I'm literally sitting in front of like a dozen toys that I use for that purpose. Yeah. but there's also a very sort of like peaceful and almost tactical feel to writing as well. Mm-hmm. That you can weave the perspective and the narrative and the way that you word your opinions and just the way that you want to evoke emotion about something just through the act of writing. Unfortunately, putting those two things together,
very challenging.
It's a lot of damn work. Yeah. And years and years of that, not to say that the process was ever bad or anything like that, but there came a point in time where I thought to myself, like, I do have to sort of lean in on this, on this identity that I have sort of carved out for myself as mm-hmm. a commentator on all of this. And as much as I do like writing, the process of testing, charts, writing, data point writing was just not in line with the way I wanted to present tech anymore.
For sure.
I want to have a conversation. I don't want to sit here staring at a phone testing all day and then line it up on a bar graph with everything else, because in reality, the person who walks into a Verizon store cares less for that than anything else.
For sure.
So that was sort of where I came from with it. So if anything, if the thing I hope that people take away from my transition from publication to YouTuber is that all I really want to do on YouTube is conversate. And I want to be able to discuss my thoughts and opinions and concerns and complaints.
And while I want that to spark. You ruthlessly bash these products left and right.
Always bashing it because you clearly hate this one and, company.
And always with the bashing. The bashing.
But yeah, I mean, like, because the conversations that we would have, even just me and you, is what I feel like is the pinnacle of that kind of discussion type piece. And the comment section, to double back on that, the comment section is such a microcosm of that that often doesn't illustrate or even represent it enough. So conversations like what we're having right now are literally what I hope to convey through content. Mm-hmm. That's really kind of where it all went.
I've been thinking about, sort of some of the transitions that I've seen in the... I mean, I don't want to date myself completely here, but the horrifically long time that I've been a part of some of these conversations, do you feel like maybe the transition to video and the focus that we put on making entertaining video, do you feel like that's maybe gotten in the way of some of the more sort of nuanced conversations that we used to have, or at least when we were going from PDAs to smartphones or feature phones to pocket computers, that some of the charm of those earlier conversations seems to have gotten kind of absorbed into this algorithm, SEO, popularity, timing, keep your metrics up. And YouTube is also going to punish your channel if the comments are getting too ugly and you don't really have much control over that. I feel like some of that has just become more noise as a barrier to me having the kinds of conversations that I'd really like to be having more regularly.
Oh, absolutely. I but it also comes from sort of what I would call market demand, because the viewers, like, their clicks dictate where mm-hmm. the system goes. And like with many things in life, it's not necessarily the fault of any one person. There's just a system in place, And I'm not immune to that at all, which is why, first of all, thank you for saying what you said about the top five concerns pieces, and mm-hmm. I'm glad that somebody understands where I'm coming from with that kind of piece. But there is also a reason why it's top five concerns. The listicle format is kind of tried and true. It's I don't know, I always thought of it as you do have to play the game a little bit. Mm-hmm. But one of the great aspects of being your own creator is that you can dictate how you play it.
Right.
So even if you fall into a certain category of creator with your content, where like maybe if you look at my channel, it is going to be a bunch of listicles. It's the top five accessories, top five this, top five that. But once you watch it, it's a more nuanced and more well thought out piece rather than just me spouting out just a few things at a time. Right. And That's how I find solace in it, at least. Like, because if I end up clickbaity, I would hope that when you watch the video, you come out of it going, that was still JV. It's just the title's weird, but it's still JV, you know?
Right.
But I do agree with you that the deeper conversations that we would have, even existentially about tech, those don't happen as often. The deeper conversations don't happen quite as often because all that they're trying to do is just get out the content that the market demands. It's like flowery, super well, like super good looking content, which is not a bad thing inherently. But, you know, if you're missing details or if you are just like, I don't know, I fall in the middle of this whole thing because people accuse creators all the time of just making commercials.
Right.
I don't think it's a really
difficult line to walk. And again, it's an idea that I don't think always gets properly expressed too. You have relationships with PR reps. I mean, they're genuinely our work colleagues on the other side of the fence. These are long going relationships. That doesn't necessarily influence the criticisms of a product as I'm going into a review. But, you know, if someone's coming to my channel, if they've only just seen one video of mine, they're missing out on 7 years of content and sort of evolving discussions of different products and companies and manufacturers that, I mean, there's no way for me to fully express, you know, like, we just had a conversation about the LG Optimus. I was in my Discord talking about the HTC One X, you know, like, we have these relationships that are formed over really long periods of time that then got, if I were to get an HTC tomorrow, it would be backed up by all of the baggage of the last couple of years and what I would want to see out of a device like that. It's very challenging because I'm hoping for informed commentary. I want to add to a conversation, but as it seems like the only avenues I've been able to find for that are like critiques on the system of YouTube first before I even have a chance to talk about the gadget, you know?
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, I might be talking about a Sony. And if I'm talking to North Americans about a Sony, I'm talking about a company that has given up on advertising heavily to North Americans, that has very little sort of mind share with their product lines. And then it's like, I need to do all of the work of an advertising agency just to tell you that they still exist before I even have a chance to tell you about my experiences using the phone. It's like, I've got to backlog all that. If I talk about an Apple product, Apple's done all the heavy lifting for me. You're aware of what Apple's putting out through pure osmosis. I don't have to do any of that. And that's a big, that's become a big a concern. It's become a big challenge for the content I produce because I really want to see competition. And I don't think that can happen if so much of the conversation is YouTube weighted based purely on these like popularity algorithms.
Yeah. And that's what I mean by the whole market demand thing, because even just in the terms of just how the content is consumed, the whole idea that you have to have a preamble, a long 2-minute preamble just to explain why this video exists in the first place means that people
good.
Like, it just means people click away in the first 3 minutes and it's clear that all they want is what they see in the title. And that's literally all that they want. And there's no meta going on. Like, they're like, no one's open to meta anymore. And that's one of the big pitfalls about the way YouTube handles its content at this point.
It's funny because the Facebookification of Instagram and YouTube and this like sorting, you know, like I'll show you smaller subreddits where there's this huge variety of different kinds of content. And then you go to a major subreddit, you go to your YouTube feed or you go to Facebook and you're like, it's all the same. It's all the same. Like the top trending topics never stray from like this very rigid corridor of content. But then I can find some dude out of like Dayton, Ohio, who's talking about some weird feature phone running KaiOS and like, oh my God, that was amazing.
Yeah.
I know he's never going to make another blog post or video ever again, but like, I just got so much out of this one little piece of content that some home producer made on something that no one else was talking about right now.
Yeah, and just because the search terms are like, well, I don't know what meter you use, but I use TubeBuddy. Mm-hmm. It's like, is that?
Yeah, we've all gone through TubeBuddy. It's the great content creator secret that we all know.
But yeah, I mean, it's just so funny because it is a little bit disheartening, because I remember back in the day thinking to myself, like, okay, I even have these struggles right now. Mm-hmm. I can't penetrate the gaming community at all. Mm-mm. No matter how hard I try, a Let's Play from JV gets like 20 views. They are engaged views, but they're 20 views nonetheless.
Right.
And it's disheartening. And it's at that point that you hear a lot of people like the Gary V's of the world just say, be patient, like, you know, keep at it, all that stuff.
And I disagree.
It's not a very invalid thing to say.
But I disagree.
But you also have, I would tell people to, stick to the craft. And as long as you do have an engaged audience, the growth comes over time. And the people who do come in tend to be way more engaged than before.
But I mean, like, and I'm so glad you're on this track. I usually kind of wrap up some of our podcasts. I don't want to keep you too much later because I literally just got two more phones dropped off on my doorstep. I just got a notification right here. I'm going to cry.
I have the new Sennheiser Truly Wireless today.
Oh, they're good. We've got to talk about some embargo and NDA stuff offline.
okay.
But yeah. The thing I'm sure you can join me in the sentiment a little too. When we came up a long time before the YouTube adpocalypse hit, all of this, and I feel like YouTube got really aggressive about not deplatforming, but kind of like moving the goalposts on up and comers. We were already pretty well established. What I see some of these newer content creators going through today, I think I would have given up. I don't think I would have stuck with it. I'm seeing some really smaller channels putting out very thoughtful and very entertaining content. And it's like, they're struggling just to meet those caps for monetization that I never had to jump through hoops like that. And again, I kind of keep coming back to the larger system, you know, I subscribed to someone's channel just recently. I had no idea that they only had like 3,000 subscribers. I'm seeing this person everywhere on Twitter. I'm seeing him show up in podcasts. He's doing all the right things. He's been plugging away for like over a year. And I click on his channel to subscribe, and YouTube couldn't recommend bigger channels fast enough. Oh, if you like tech discussion, you need to follow this other person who has 5 million subscribers. And you're like, read the room. I'm actively trying to find people that are growing and that are building and that are fresh in the scene. Not anything against someone who has an established channel, but I'm making an effort, and YouTube can't push them out of the way fast enough to try and serve me more popular fare. And I'm having a really hard time with the gurus that are just like, oh, no, just stick with this and then make sure that you only focus on one topic. You know, JV right here. Gaming and smartphone reviewing are different things. So maybe you should make three or four different channels.
Stay in your lane. And I did make another channel. It's called JV Plays Games. And like,
and you're like, I'm not gonna do that. I mean, like, I'm gonna put like, you know, high end recording equipment and microphone reviews right next to like, and this is the case that I'm gonna put on my iPhone SE. Womp womp. I can't. I'm not gonna. And I know it's messing me up. I'm not as popular as I should be on the YouTube algorithm because I'm not appeasing the algorithm, but it's also like I've got to live by my own code, and I'm seeing all of these struggles out there. I've asked this at the end of every podcast that I put out there, but so many people want to get into this space. I think I'm pretty good at reading like who's taking this seriously and who's just looking for a shortcut, but you're in the middle of a conversation and someone is demonstrating that like you really get the vibe that they've got the fortitude, that they're trying to go about this the right way, that they're genuinely trying to jump in. What is the advice that you give them in this modern age of content creation? What does JV recommend for that up and coming content creator?
Ooh, like, okay, so the reason why this is such an interesting question, and I've gotten this before, is because I always had, here comes the preamble, right. As we mentioned on the YouTubes. I am such a weird case because I came into this early on for a publication that afforded me not only the connections of this industry, but also the fan base that had remained loyal even after I disappeared from Android Authority. And I will always be grateful to Android Authority for giving me the space and for giving me the opportunity. And even on a micro level, they allowed me to make that final video,
right?
Which is like, they didn't have to do that. Like, I asked for it. They didn't have to say yes.
For sure.
So I was able to actually provide a retrospective for my time there while telling people I'm not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. So stick around. So my growth has actually been a little bit, it's an outlier. I would not say that my path is at all going to inform
for sure
most people who ask me that question. That said, I am actually going through a lot of what I think a lot of small creators will go through for a longer duration of time than I did, which is you have to sort of like, I do agree though that you do have to sort of stick to, like, trust the process is what I mean to say.
Mm-hmm.
Sticking to the craft is a weird way of putting it. I say trust the process, because when you put trust in your process and you really make your workflow efficient to the point where you are able to still go to, you're able to make all of these videos without getting too into the, getting too down in the dumps about the numbers and analytics. This is where I differ from so many other creators, because I'm not an analytics geek.
Yeah,
I'm not. I look at it and I check it, and like every now and then a company wants to know what they are, but I don't really focus on it so much, you know?
Right.
And if you're able to inject some of that, that's great. But I think that my number one piece of advice for people who want to get into YouTube is to know that YouTube is not the end all.
Yeah.
It's not the only, because I would not be where I am right now, living a life that I actually am quite happy with, even if, like, because what are your goalposts is my question. What are they? If it's to make a crap load of money on YouTube, that is like the hardest goal of all time.
Yeah. Well, because then your goalposts aren't yours. YouTube will move the goalposts on you as they see fit. Again, I'm sorry not to step on your commentary or your advice here, but
no.
But it's been really challenging to see some people step up, and you're like, you're doing this amazing work, but what are you trying to achieve? Because if it's validation through YouTube, Google is going to be, you can't fight Google. Like,
yeah,
you're never going to win.
And if I'm honest, like this is like half jokey, but it's also very, very true. Just ask anybody who knows me on a daily basis. Honestly, like, I'm not trying to do YouTube videos so I can afford a Tesla. I'm not being like
oh, we all know, Mr. I bash everything that's popular.
I'm not calling anybody out specifically. All I'm saying is
Josh the Bash Bro over here.
Shouts out to Mark Linsangen. Just kidding. But if I were to set a monetary or let's say a material based goalpost, I've already achieved it, because let's put it this way, like, I just want to be able to make enough money on the reg that I could go to Sprouts whenever I want and buy keto food. Like, that's right. Like all I really want. Sprouts is like my happy place, if anybody doesn't
for
know.
For sure.
But aside from that, if it's just going to be YouTube ad revenue, we are all being fed that narrative now, that the correct narrative, that YouTube ad revenue should never be the only stream. And it should also not be your only motivator, obviously.
Right.
One thing that I tell, and I'm actually, not to get too much into the details of it, but we both are actually connected to somebody who is in the middle of this growth as a small channel. And I'm going to be the good boyfriend and say, everyone go watch Issa's channel. Issa
for
does
real.
Fantastic work.
Her videos
and she is
current top tier. Yeah.
And she's doing work right now that I keep telling her, you're doing such a good job. And you are you do deserve more views, but you are going to get there. Her growth mm-hmm. has actually been on the upper end of normal compared to many others. And mm-hmm. even if it, like I said, she's going to go through the same amount of work that I had to go through, but in a longer amount of time, because I had a built-in audience. So that's the reason why I always have to preface that. And again, not to toot my own horn, all I'm saying is it is important that if you do have your head on straight, knowing that AdSense is not your only motivator, the more you do content that you enjoy doing and you trust in the process and the craft, the more people start to reach out to you, the more people start to ask you, hey, can you do like an integration? Can you do an ad? Can you do stuff like this? And it's up to you to decide which ones of those fit with your identity, obviously. But you get those calls, you get those emails, and those are the things that can actually drive the channel when the AdSense itself no longer is able to. So that's the reason why I say trust the process, but also trust the fact that if you have a good support system, to know that you're not alone in all of this. This tech community is amazing. I'm not tooting my own horn, but all I want to do, aside from shop at Sprouts, is support my girlfriend who's trying to be a tech YouTuber also.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that she understands that, and she's eternally grateful for that. And all I'm trying to be is just a good boyfriend to cultivate this great creator that I know is in her. And she's doing a great job of showing that.
Hey folks, are you getting bored of the current collection of tech and geek commentary on the internet? Is the discussion of new electronics feeling a bit stale? Do you want to find some fresh voices to add to your subscription queue? Check out the community on r/glowingrectangles on Reddit. Now, this subreddit was built to help new voices in the tech community find more audience, and we need your support. Sharing, commenting, and those precious, tasty upvotes. Reddit can radically help a content creator expand their reach. Do you know a producer who deserves more attention? Do you just want to find fun new stuff? Head on over to reddit.com/r/glowingrectangles and share or browse to your heart's content. Once again, reddit.com/r/glowingrectangles, and let's build something cool together.
And it's just been really exciting to watch. Since getting to hang out with her, it was the very first time I think I got to hang out with her was on an Oppo trip.
Probably.
I think so. I'm my brain is now like locking and I'm just blurring without, a whole bunch of without, like, trade shows.
Without together. Naming names, wasn't there like a spicy food incident? Like, wasn't that one of the moments?
That's right.
Someone ate spicy food that they couldn't handle. Let's just put it that way.
We're not going to tell that story on the podcast. It's been so exciting to watch because like, I just remember, I'll never forget, I'd forgotten where exactly it happened, but I'll never forget the actual conversation where she just kind of like broke it down and schooled me on selfie cameras. Because I think they're stupid, and I would not be sad if my phone didn't have a selfie camera on it. And she was like, no, and let me show you why. And just like, and here I am, you know, like at a hot pot. And she's just like breaking it all down and schooling me out as to why I'm wrong there. And so to watch her channel grow, like, I run a little subreddit, you know, to plug my own subreddit. I mean, she's routinely like top 10, like her videos are always showing up. And it's like those types of interactions and that type of organic growth where it doesn't mm-hmm. feel manipulated. It doesn't feel, astroturfed. Been really exciting to see.
Love that term you just used there, astroturf. I love that.
Oh, dude. I feel like there's been a lot of, in not just in our industry. I just mean like in communications in general. Like you were trying to say, like my experiences coming up are so alien to someone who's starting right now. It's been a bit of a challenge. You know, I fall back on some of the core consistency. Keep up with the things that you're passionate about, but I've actually been a little bit at a loss. It's one of the main reasons why I've been trying to make this a more regular podcast series again, sharing some of our stories. You can't replicate where we came from, but we still might be able to help. You might still learn something from our experiences, especially you might learn what not to do from some of our experiences. But it has been a little disappointing seeing some of the biggest platforms redirect, you know, where YouTube started for me as this amazing community, you know, up-and-comers, home content creators. And now it's like you go to YouTube and like the top 10 videos are going to be served to you on the YouTube algorithm come from like NBC. You're like, that's not what this platform started out as. I don't know how to tell someone, if you want to make content and you think YouTube is the platform for you, yeah, keep at it. You're totally going to beat Ellen DeGeneres if you just keep with it. Right.
But that goes back to the whole idea of like, what is your goalpost? Like,
exactly.
You have to really know what your goals are. And if I could add like another little detail,
yeah, for sure.
Is that you also like, we all fail at this at one point or another, which is
some of us on the daily.
We all fail at this consistently. Like, I can, speaking for myself, I fail at this all the time. Which is the reason why my outward personality expression often is about gratitude, because I'm not just saying that because like that's what I hope everyone is like. I'm saying that because I'm reminding myself.
Yeah.
Because there's so many times where the little victories get swept under the rug, the small victories that we don't know how to focus on. And even just right before this, I was typing up the script for the video I'm working on today, which is the Moto Edge Plus. Mm-hmm. And remember that, okay, just from a tech YouTuber, tech writer perspective, if you hit a state of flow, unencumbered, undistracted, and in 45 minutes you banged out a 2,000 word article or piece about a phone, you clearly have a passion.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to remember that. If the numbers don't reflect that, you need to remember how to reflect it to yourself.
Right.
And that's one way to look at it, is to look at the small victories of those things. So like 2 Pomodoros and I was able to do 1500 words.
Right on.
So clearly I'm still good at this, but it also means that I'm still into it.
Yeah.
And that matters.
God. And I mean, like, with all the distractions going on right now, that has been like the solace, you know. I don't even know if I'm going to publish it. I wrote this article that I was going to just, you know, kind of put up on Gadget Guy about the iPhone SE. And I never come to a conclusion. It's not a review. It's me waxing philosophical. I think it's just going to be a diary entry in my own like collection of Microsoft Word articles, but it's 6,000 words long.
Some gadget diary.
Some gadget diary. my very, very personal thoughts on the phones I review. And you're like, yeah, I mean, like, there was something I needed to express. This is probably just gonna be for me. I can't imagine who would be interested in following this road of commentary on a $400 phone.
Can I say, though, if that was really stream of consciousness writing, you should just totally Bill Burr podcast the hell out of that thing. It's just you and a microphone and just talk.
We're doing it. Josh, I like I said, I don't want to keep you too much later, and we're already kind of a little over the hour here, so thank you for taking the time.
I'm good for a little bit more. I know you had a whole slew of questions, so
I do have, I mean, we're gonna do my wrap up now. This is the critical scenario. Josh, a terrible calamity has befallen mankind. It's disaster, it's terrible, it's awful, but thankfully you and your family are safe. You all got together. You made it to the bunker. But in your haste, in your rush to protect your family members, you could only preserve one tea blend to make it to the bunker. This is for the future of humanity to share with the next, you know, the people around you. What tea did you grab on your way out the door?
Now, is this a tea that will eventually be reintroduced to mankind, or is it just for me?
You've already taken the premise deeper than I have.
Because you know what? Actually, even with those two scenarios, the answer is still going to be the same. So even with those two caveats, it would be It's technically considered a blend, but also not, because it's a traditional way of making green tea in Japan, which is genmaicha.
Okay.
Genmaicha is consistently my favorite go-to green tea, not only for myself, but also for introducing other people to tea, because it's green tea leaves of a good quality, of course, with roasted rice. And that roasted rice flavor gets you in, but you still get the benefits of the green tea and you're still able to taste the green tea. But it's just that the roasted rice is just a real easy, like, gateway into it. Mm-hmm. So technically it's a blend, but it shows the nuances of green tea while also showing the fun you can have about blending those flavors together. Like, I have this, I have to do more research as to whether or not this is something I can do, but I would love to walk right outside here with a cup of, like, white tea, which is very mm-hmm. delicate and easy to pair with other flavors. Mm-hmm. Take a white tea, just start plucking leaves, just like throwing it in. And I would eventually find, like, my blend, but I don't know how, like, is the word sanitary? I don't know how healthy that would be.
I mean, I feel like boiling water should help a lot, right? So
me too. I do think that, like, as well.
Now, the next time we're able to go face to face, I've got a chai oolong with a little bit of berry, and it's I mean, the oolong actually kind of overpowers the chai. It's maybe not the best combo. It's not, maybe not the best blend of a nice dark sipping tea, but it smells like cider. Like, I've never come across, like, this combination, because, you know, we can have fun with some of these candy teas. You know, they're not culturally authentic, or they're not of a region. It's just like, hey, we just dumped a bunch of, like, dried out stuff into a bag together and it tastes like a Snickers bar.
Oh, I literally actually sorry. I actually have a tea blend called This Cake Is a Lie.
I love it.
It was from a nerdy forward, like, tea shop that is, I think, not far from where you are, actually. I think it's somewhere in, like, Culver.
Oh, right.
And yeah, I just walked in there randomly with a couple of my friends, and I saw, like, all their tea blends were based on characters and nuances from video games.
Nice.
And this one's obviously Portal, and it's The Cake Is a Lie, and it has black tea with vanilla and what's the term? Is it confetti? Not confetti.
Oh, yeah.
Like confetti, like, sprinkles. Like,
that's hilarious.
Yeah. So, anyway, sorry.
When all of this calms down, one, I need to get you into Gadget Lab 3. I've already promised TK that he would be my inaugural come hang out, and we'll shoot some stuff in the new lab. But
yeah,
obviously extending the same invitation to you, but. Just, buddy, it's been too long since we've had a chance to break bread, and I was counting on trade shows to help us catch up again, and that's kind of silly, and we should probably not do that.
We'll have masks on. The audio's not going to sound great.
I've got some labs. We'll just tuck them up in there. It'll be great. It'll be awesome.
But yeah, I mean, this has been a great time. And yeah, how long do your creator chats usually go for? I'm sorry if I cut it short.
No. I mean, like, an hour to 90 minutes. And
oh, okay.
You can tell, like, as you start getting to 90 minutes, you're like, I feel like this person is kind of done talking about themselves. And that's the mark of, like, a really good creator chat, is when you sort of exhausted someone's ability to, like, talk about them. I mean, because we're so, I mean, especially, you know, in our industry, I've talked to a few others, like actors and a couple of writers and stuff like that, but, like, they can talk about themselves longer, but for us, we're so primed for, like, tell me what the news headlines are. Do you have a show notes list? I'm going to talk about these topics. You know, are you handling a phone review? Like, we're so geared that when you ask someone like you to take a second and be like, but tell me about your childhood, you know, it's like, that's, that's like, Oh, I gotta think about that. That's, what do I say? So I don't.
And you know what? Like,
a good,
let's say, someone with a good enough hosting ability, I suppose, knows how to sort of, like, I'm a very wordy person, but it's because I like to paint the picture of what I'm trying to describe. And
that's why I like your videos.
Appreciate it. It could be one concern, but it's 5 minutes for me to explain why it's a
it's a top five list, but it's 25 minutes long.
Welcome to the Top Five Concerns podcast. And oh, man. I will never do that, by the way. I will never do a podcast just about the negative points. That feels a little bit too much work, because you really have to explain why this is a bad thing. Like, well, I wouldn't want to do that.
I get it. That I call it the drama dance. There are a couple really big channels, and I don't want to, like, throw shade, but we know they're always going to talk about Samsung and Apple. But it's like in between launches, I don't think Samsung's going to do it for me this year. What is Apple thinking? They've lost me as a customer. Aloha, Apple. The goodbye aloha, not the hello aloha. And then it's like, of course, the new phone comes out and they're like, oh, through pure meritocracy and having nothing to do with YouTube metrics, Apple has done it again and completely won me over. And you're like, it's like reality TV. Once you see kind of like, once you see the scenes, once you see what the gag is, it's not interesting. It's not real anymore. And there have been a few channels, like, I used to be diehard. I used to watch everything they'd put out. And then something would just click and you're like, oh, that's what he's doing. All right. Well, now I've seen behind the curtain. I know the magic trick. I'm not into this anymore. I'm not having fun.
Which kind of plays into like what we were saying earlier about it. It is being a realist, a little bit of a pragmatist, like there is a game to be played. But again, it's how you play the game that matters to you, and it should matter to you, if as small creators, you know. And you know, if you are happy with the way that you are playing that game, and it actually fulfills you, and you can sleep at night, go for it. Like that, sure. That's the reason why somebody like me would probably just go like top five complaints or concerns, but I'm gonna have a nice conversation about
for
it.
For sure.
Like,
that's the big hook. The person who's playing the drama dance. I don't feel that, and I don't mean this in a malicious way. I don't think they're sitting at home thinking, how am I defrauding my audience? That's not what I'm saying. But they're not being either internally consistent or intellectually honest about what game they're playing.
Yeah.
And I like channels where they put the rules up front, you know? I'm putting you in league with a dude like Flossie Carter. I don't always agree. I very often disagree with some of the points that you might have concerns with, but I've never felt that you have been internally inconsistent or you have changed the methodology that you use to generate these videos simply to satisfy. Well, you know what? I haven't put out an Apple hater video this week, so I need to make sure I put out this Apple hater video because that's my Wednesday video, and I need to make up some reason why I'm upset. And then I'll put out on Friday my Apple won me over video, because then it'll be the conflict on the channel and all the people that like Apple will come back and say, oh, well, see, he realized his mistake. You know, like
that. Yeah, it's kind of quiet. People haven't been pissed off in a little while. Let me just make happen again.
And I don't understand courting that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand. Because obviously conflict sells. Drama, you know, that entanglement, I get it, you know, but it's the same reason why I'm so frustrated with reality TV in most incarnations, and especially like this new generation of like cooking competition shows where I adored that as content. Now you can tell when the producer's cut went to this like amateur chef and then said, maybe if you said this line, it would sound really sassy. Roll cameras. And you're like, obviously. It couldn't be more obvious that they didn't think. Does anyone else notice this? It's just me. It can't be just me. I'm not having fun. It's super fake. And I want to know what the rules are. First of all, I just want to know what the game is. Like, I feel like I know what your game is, and I feel like you've been clear about what the rules are, and it allows me to just kind of autopilot your content in a very satisfying way. I'm not trying to figure out like,
oh yeah,
what's Josh going to do here? Why is he, is this a curveball? Is there a twist? Is he dead the whole time? What's happening here? I feel like up front. And it, again, like I'll point to you in the same way that I point to someone like a Flossie Carter, like show me anyone who's been more consistent with their style, with their commentary, with their shtick. I mean, I don't think there has been. Top down camera, phone, hands kind of manhandle a gadget for a couple hours, and you know exactly what he's thinking because it just sort of comes out a really long video. Like, I get that. I know what I'm in for. I'm not going to be surprised in a bad way in a Flossy Carter mm-hmm. video.
Oh, yeah, and the feeling is mutual, honestly, because like there are times when I would come to your content and I know that I'm going to watch something that will actually educate me, because I know that from my perspective, especially the perspective that I've chosen to embrace, is a bit more generalized. Like, I'm not a heavy tester. I'm not really into the weeds as far as the details are concerned. But when time comes for a little bit of that deeper education, I know that, you know, your content tends to go in that direction. And I always appreciate it in that. You know, just like you would say, you would probably disagree with like two or three of my concerns. In my case, I'd be like, well, I mean, it's great to know that. It doesn't really change how I feel about a thing. But it's to know that, because I did not know that before. You know what I mean?
For sure.
So that's really where I come from there.
And that's what I feel like gets lost a little bit when that person whom is probably a fan of mine goes over to your channel and acts like there's beef. like you realize we're accomplishing different, you don't realize apparently, because you felt like this comment was necessary to drop on someone's YouTube channel. I have some concerns, John.
I started using that phrase in the video too, but I hoped that there wasn't like, did you used to listen to that podcast, We Have Concerns? Because I miss it.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Yeah.
I mean, guys. I literally, I don't think I'd be an online content creator if it wasn't for Jeff Cannata.
There you go.
So I'll wrap up my little anecdote and then I'll put a pin in this. But when we started doing our movie review podcast, we had built up like, I don't know, we were getting like 3,000 or 4,000 views and downloads. This is way back. Like, I was really trying to riff off of Revision 3. You know, we started that show in 2009. And any kind of online video was still kind of a big deal to do week to week.
But wasn't that the dream though? Wasn't Dignation the dream to just sit on a couch and get paid for that? Like,
and we did, and it was in a terrible bachelor pad, like my buddy's awful, like the apartment was just gross, and we never cleaned up. But we ended up doing that show for 3 years. But it was in the first year, Jeff Cannata, of the Totally Rad Show at the time, just said, hey, I saw this video that you did on a movie I really liked, and people should go and check it out. And that one tweet bumped us from like 5,000 total views and downloads to 50.
Wow.
And like, it, 1 week to the next, we saw like the chart didn't even recognize our traffic the week before. It had to be on a completely different scale where it like just lined up with the x-axis. It was insane. And we had him on the show, and he later I got to work with him and do some voiceover. And you're like, from that one experience, it's why I've been on such a tear lately. I don't think I could ever do that for someone. Just one tweet totally blows up their channel. But I could give them a platform. I could give them a conversation. The next guest I'm going to have on this podcast, I think he's at 3,500 subscribers on YouTube. And I think that's a travesty from someone who's putting out energetic and fun and consistent content. And I feel it's not because of anything he's doing. It's completely
drop the name.
For the next creator chat in about a week, I'm going to have Viper, the self-proclaimed captain of Team Apple. I love his channel. It's like if you needed ringside WWE commentary on all things Apple, you should be watching this dude. I mean, like, he puts everything into every video that he makes. He gets lit up. You can see he's genuinely excited and passionate about this stuff. He's had phenomenal guests on his live streams. I am at a loss. I want to tell that guy, you know, like, hey, man, stick with this because you're doing amazing work. I don't get it. I really don't. This is in every like segment. You're doing the right thing. You should, your channel should be blowing up. What's the problem here? And the one thing I can kind of point to is YouTube is such a black box. you know, so it's a newer channel, doesn't have a ton of initial, you know, surge of subscribers. People didn't really know what to make of him, if he was legit or if he was really serious or if this is just a wacky character. He was making fun of Apple fans or Apple users. But like, I feel he's proven himself and he's paid his dues. Now we should see that kind of organic growth, and it's not happening. And that's why, like, I've been so passionate about, here, I'm going to meet you on Reddit, and I'm going to meet you on Twitter, and I'm going to talk about you on my podcast, and I don't want this content to go away. I'm genuinely a fan of it. This is selfishly for my own subscription list. I need your content to show up in my feed.
Yeah, that sounds great. I need to check out this channel myself as well.
He's a really good dude. I'll hook this up. But we had set about an hour and we went a little long, and then we went a lot long, and I'm glad that we had this.
No worries.
Time to
long
catch up,
long story short, Genmaicha is what I would bring into the bunker, and
and we've got a loosely penciled in post social distancing meetup at some point, and
totally
we'll break some bread and brew some tea again.
For sure. Thank you so much for having me, by the way. This was such a great conversation. I love this.
For newer creators coming up, don't be discouraged if your path looks different than people who are already established. Everyone's journey is unique. Oh, and take a second every now and then to enjoy a really good green tea. A huge thanks to JV for joining me on this podcast. Give him a nod over at my old stomping ground on PocketNow and his own personal tech YouTube channel. And a huge thank you to all of you listening, subscribing, and sharing this podcast. If you would like to help support the production of more conversations like these, please head on over to somegadgetguy.com, where you'll find a support banner, and that's where I keep all of my current partnerships and affiliates, including my Patreon, where patrons get ad-free versions of every show. And reviewing the show on your favorite podcasting service is always greatly appreciated. You know where you can find me around the rest of the internet, at Some Gadget Guy on the Twitters and the Twitch, and the Facebooks and the Instagrams. And I will catch you all on the next podcast. Recording voiceover, spoken word, is truly one of my favorite activities. My second favorite hobby is photography. Now, the smartphone might be making us deaf, but we can't deny the awesome power of the phone as a platform for photography and multimedia creation. If you've been looking to improve your mobile photog skills, if you want to produce more professional content, or you're just looking to take your family photos to the next level, I wrote a book to help you out with that. Take Better Photos, Smartphone Photography for Noobs, is available on Amazon Kindle. Walking through the basic terminology of photography, covering the settings on your camera, discussing composition and inspiration, and I even include a long list of exercises and challenges to really hone your skills, all with some helpful example photos and diagrams. Search for Take Better Photos, Smartphone Photography for Noobs on Amazon, or use the quick link bit.ly/betterphotosbook to grab your copy today.